The biggest little city in the world, the American cradle of liberty.
Look at you! You're a freak!
What are we alive for except to grab all the kicks we can? To contaminate our society.
Now being renovated.
Mr. Dowd.
Podcasting live from the recent past and a brand new season 3 here at the Dogwater Studios. I am the Reverend Rory Dowd. In studio, we've got Max Volume, my good friends Nick Ramirez and Dogwater Dick. And this is a great show. We've got so much happening for you today, including a phone call with a really famous comedian, Bobby Slayton, in just a few minutes.
No fucking way.
Yeah.
He's the pit bull of comedy.
On the worst little podcast, we're talking out of our ass.
Oh, did you hear Max talking up the record without knowing where the post
was? Oh, yeah.
Was?
He just hit the post without even thinking. That was like,
I've never been here.
Eyes closed, slam dunk. How you doing, Max?
As Geddy Lee would say, I'm a professional.
He gets paid to do this.
He's been doing it as long as Geddy, too, so it shows, man.
Well, speaking of Bobby Slayton, it's about time for me to make that phone call.
No
so we're just going to do that
right off the top,
right
huh?
here at the top of the
cool,
show.
Cool.
I'm so excited.
Let's hope our new technology works.
Let's get a stoner spunk on that, too.
Yeah, huh? I think this totally deserves a stoner spunk. Is that the 5 spunk? Yeah.
Okay.
Spunk.
Watch him not answer.
He's such a dick.
Calling Bobby.
Tick tock, tick tock.
Yes, right on time.
Hey, Bobby, how you doing tonight?
All right.
Right on time. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. It's good to talk to you here on the podcast, The Worst Little Podcast. We're here with Max Volume and my...
No, not Max Volume.
Yes,
no,
once again, you're cursed. And
you didn't tell me he was going to be on the show. Why didn't you tell me that? I never would have done that. No, Max, are you there?
Yeah, you're going to be on my show live.
That's
in the studio.
That's why I didn't want to do this dumb. Well, no. Let me tell you something.
No, you're right, dumb.
No. Let me explain to you. Rory calls me up and says, "Listen, I want you to do my podcast because I'm heard all over the world. I'm like Max Volume, who's only the biggest FM famous." Murray McKay type, DJ, like Alan Fredorino. I want you to do my dumb podcast, which nobody listens to. Podcast all over the world. And I said, well, I'd like to do your podcast, Rory, but here's the problem. I'm doing Max's show when I come into town on Friday, and I got to save my best, funniest material for the legendary Max Volume. Now, what am I going to do?
Be Bobby.
Hey, no, it's great. No,
well, you could say curse words on our show.
Yeah, you can drop whatever you want on this show. We don't have the FCC regulations that Max does.
Oh, that's true. But you know what? Here's the funny thing. I do XM Sirius Radio all the time.
Right.
And Sirius. I'm so used to doing, terrestrial radio. I'm so used to doing, all the morning zoo shows and all the, regular radio shows. And if I'm not on a stage, it's hard for me to let those F-bombs go.
Right.
But if I'm gonna do that, fuck you, Rory. I want to do that volume show. Now I feel better, thank you. It's out of the way.
We're going to isolate that one out and keep it.
Absolutely.
So Bobby Slayton, the pit bull of comedy, you're going to be here this Friday, Saturday night at the Pioneer Underground Reno Tahoe Comedy Club, right?
Yeah, but that's not why I'm doing your show. I'm doing it because I wanted to talk to you.
Thank you.
Awesome.
When I called you early in the day when you did that big pre-interview with me,
yeah,
I said, because there's so many podcasts now, and I said, what do you guys talk about? And you said, it's a lot about Reno. I know Reno and I go so far back. I have so many great memories of Reno. How many people can actually say that?
I'd say most of the people in this room.
Everybody in this
room.
Bobby's
Max,
a dick.
Has such a history of that town. I mean, I go so far back with that guy. But what's really funny is I was thinking about all the old days when I started doing stand-up in San Francisco like 30, 35 years ago. And I would open up for all these great Bay Area bands like the Tubes. Remember Ray Charles would come to town. I'd open up for Ray Charles, the Tower of Power, and Eddie Money and Greg Kinn, and I'd play San Francisco and I'd play Sacramento. But when my daughter, I'll never forget this. When she was one, I was playing in Reno. We had a 1-year-old birthday party there, And I get these great videos of my daughter, you know, with her birthday cake, crying. And I was opening up for the Four Tops at the Reno Hilton. It was so cool.
Wow.
Not limited to the Four Tops, but I, as I'm flying up to town, Mike Love from the Beach Boys was on the plane, and he's sitting next to me, and he didn't know who I was. We'll go back 25 years ago. And I said,
Before you made it,
who I am. They still don't know who I am after 25 years. But Mike goes, I guess Mike lives or lived in Tahoe, and he goes, what are you going to do up there? And I said, well, I'm going to open up for the Four Tops at the Reno Hilton, and I'm sure I did Max Volume show. And he goes, can I come to the show? I go, are you out of your mind? What do you mean? Of course you can come to the show.
Right.
So after the show, I'm sitting backstage with Mike Love and Levi Stubbs, who's since passed away. Levi Stubbs, the great Levi Stubbs. And here's what you need the F word, the great fucking legendary Levi Stubbs.
Yeah.
I'm sitting with him and Mike Love, and I'm listening to those guys talk, and I think it was the first time that I was actually quiet for an hour. And that was really, 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 really cool.
Well, I got one legend in my ears. I got one legend to my left here. You and Max here in the studio.
Our line of sight.
This is actually the first episode of our third season, so we're really excited to have you on tonight.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Well, the third season. I don't know how you managed to stay on this long, but that's kind of cool, Roar.
Neither do we. Neither
can
do we.
Stop us.
Three's a charm.
They tried to stop us, but they can't find us.
You know, I did a podcast for a long time. You know, and it's funny. I'm writing a book called "If You Can't Laugh at Yourself, Make Fun of Other People." My 35 years in showbiz hell, and believe me, my brother, it has been nothing but hell. It's been 35 years of hell. And what's really funny is that I think it must have been about 12 years ago. You know, this whole podcast thing, this whole internet radio thing.
Right.
These guys called Comedy World, and all the Silicon Valley money, and they put together this thing, and they hired me, Greg Berendt, who's the guy that wrote that book, you know, maybe he's not that into you, the late Ken Oprah from MTV, Craig Shoemaker, the Love Master. They hired us, and they paid us a lot of money. They paid us all six figures, because they thought internet radio, podcasting, would take off tremendously, which it did. But back then, these guys, there was no advertising. Nobody was listening 12 years ago to the internet. And, you know, they went out of business very quickly. We all made a lot of money for a year. And then all of a sudden, of course, now the podcast thing is big and now everybody's doing it. So I'm always a day late, dollar short. You know what I'm saying?
You've ever been on, like, Marc Maron's podcast? Or?
Yeah, of course.
Of course,
You know, it's funny. Marc Maron, you know, everybody says to me now I should do a podcast again. And, me and John Lovitz started to do one last year, and it took off really big. But John Lovitz, and I love John Lovitz, he's one of my best friends, but he's a lunatic. He's crazy, funny, out of his mind John Lovitz, or the fascist, I hate Obama, right-wing John Lovitz. And, you know, it's hard for me to do a radio show with anybody. We did it for a while, and, you know, we got some response, and I did a lot of podcasts, but Marc Maron's, you know, is W2F, what the fuck, that podcast is great. Matter of fact, Mark just, he now has a TV show. He had me play myself on a show. It's coming out, I think, in a few months on the Independent Film Channel. So that should be pretty
nice,
cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
I want to say,
he's one of
our
heroes.
Let's get back to Max Volume. Fuck you, Rory.
We're very proud of
him. Because I'm going to, Max Volume, let me tell you something about Max Volume. He's one of the few guys, no, I'm serious. Over all the years of doing radio, There's Lanigan in Cleveland. There's Mancow in Chicago. Alex Bennett in San Francisco. There's Todd Tyler in Omaha. There's my friend John DiBella in Philadelphia. You know, and there's Max Volume in Reno. There's because I can remember I have all these. There's like 10 guys that have always been legends in radio. Guys that have supported comedy. Guys that I love doing their show and hanging out with. And Max. And we're on a podcast. Fucking Volume is one of them.
wrong button.
Yeah, right.
And you know what? And you know what's funny? The last five times I've come to Reno and Tahoe, which I don't do very often, Max, you know, he said, you know, Bobby, I'm going to have you on my show this weekend, but I can't come to your show at the Pioneer Underground. I'm going to see The Who. The last time I was in town, I think it was in Tahoe, Reno, Max was in a car accident.
Yeah.
I think the time before that, he came out of the closet. No, that was the morning zoo. That was Opie and Anthony. I'm sorry. Sometimes they mix these guys up. I'm sorry.
So I want to ask you a question, Bob. You said, you know, you've been in comedy 30, 35 plus years, and it's been a hell. It's been a long road the whole time.
It's been hell.
But are you happy? Did you like it?
Do I sound like I'm fucking happy?
When fuck
I
call you do.
Rory, you fucking retarded douchebag. When I call my book, and I mean that in the nicest way, when I call my book 35 years of show myself, you know what? It really is a cool job. I mean, and you know, you have Max sitting there. When you ask Max, it's the same thing with radio. There are so many guys that fall to the wayside. There's so many guys that can't hold on to a job. But, you know, sometimes I look at some of my friends and I go, God, and I don't want to sit and drop a name. They're so successful, they're so rich, and they're so famous. But then, you know what? There's so many guys I know that have just OD'd. Their marriages have split up. Their children have been killed. I mean, and, you know, you can go either way. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I'm still having a good time doing stand-up. I mean, I just, matter of fact, in Reno this weekend and Wednesday night at the Crystal Bay Casino. I've never played there on the North Shore.
Oh, okay,
I'm working on this new hour. And I'm taping my new one-hour special in Cleveland in May. And I actually taped the special last year, and I wasn't happy with the way it came out, so I'm taping it again. So stand-up to me is always a challenge, and I've done so many acting roles, and I keep getting offered more acting roles. But you know what? I'd rather, to be honest with you, just go, I like doing stand-up. I like being on the road, and I like working.
It's a real
deal. Robin Williams, Billy Crystal, you look at all these famous, you know, actors, guys, they always go back to stand-up, you know?
Seinfeld.
Louis C.K. and Jerry Seinfeld do not have to keep doing stand-up. Jay Leno can retire. None of these guys have to keep doing stand-up, but when it's in your blood,
you gotta
keep doing it. Yeah. Whether it's Carnegie Hall or the Comedy Pioneer Underground, you know what? I'm happy I'm working, and I'm happy to come back to Reno.
You're going to pack that place, by the way, dude.
What's that?
That place is going to be packed for you, dude.
Yeah, not everybody.
I've never been there before, you know. And
oh, it's a good room.
Not everybody can afford to go see the Styx or the Who Show.
I just like working, and I've been to Reno in probably 5 years. I mean, I think maybe 10 years. I think the last time I was there, the Mates Motel, the hotel was still there, about to tear it down.
Oh, wow.
That was a while ago. You were on my show 5 years ago.
You know what? That to me. When I used to walk by, when I used to play the Hilton, and I used to play the Emerald, whatever that play, when I used to play all these places, I'd walk by the Mapes, and it was closed. And I'm going, God, you know, Reno is a mini version of Vegas. They don't hold on to their history. They don't. Yeah. Nobody cares. It's
we
just a shame, you know?
We do have the Riverside, though. Did you ever play the Riverside?
What's that?
Did you ever play the Riverside?
No, I never even heard of Riverside.
Oh, okay.
You know,
yeah, it's an old one that's still around.
That was around when the Mapes was around.
You know who preserves the history of the whole Reno area? Is the Bunny Ranch. They had the same old hookers.
Dennis is a good man.
Brother Hop. Yeah.
I think Mrs. Mapes, the original Mrs. Mapes, she's still there, turning tricks. I love it.
He's crazy.
So I also want to ask you one last thing, because we do have a lot of we're friends with a lot of the local comics that are going to be opening up for you, and you know,
Paul
there's
Spock.
a lot of guys come in on our girls come in on our show, and
last week,
if you could sum up one nugget of advice for all of them who I'm sure will be listening to this week, what would you tell all these young comics who are hitting up the open mics and hitting up the comedy club opening for big guys like you? What would
big
you tell
guys
them?
Like me. Big guys like me.
Oh,
really,
yeah.
You're
like
a big
me.
Fish,
really?
Man.
I remember seeing you on a Showtime special when I was, I don't know, 12, 13, 14 years old. My parents were out of the house.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not supposed to watch that, but that was the first thing I turned on when they left.
Rory, here's why I don't give people advice.
Okay.
Because, you know, I play all these comedy clubs around the country, and I'll go into a town a day early to do morning radio, like I'm doing, you know. Well, thank God Max is on in the afternoon. But a lot of times, you go to these clubs, and you're going to do morning radio. And I'll go in a day early, so I can get up in the morning and do the Todd and Tyler and the Bob and Tom. So they're all great shows. Okay,
I like Bob and Tom.
The next morning, when I'm on my way, usually some waitress or assistant manager will pick me up, and they'll take me to the radio show. And we'll be sitting in traffic. I'm going to say, Bobby, you know, I really want to be an actor. I really want to be a comic. Can you give me advice? And I go, I'm in the same position you're in, my friend. I am in traffic, 8 o'clock in the morning, driving to the Bob and Tom show, okay? And I'm doing exactly what you're doing, okay? Things are not that much better for me, you know? I don't know what to tell you. All I know is to tell guys, just keep doing it and keep doing it. And if you're lucky, you get on a TV show. You know, when I was on The Mind of the Married Man on HBO, and I got the Rat Pack movie on HBO, and I could sit and tell them movies that I've done. And you know what? Sometimes they take off. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they pick you for Saturday Night Live, and sometimes they don't. And when they don't, you have to call The Rory Show and play the comedy on the radio. This is fine. This is fine. You know what? Every day I wake up and I go, I'm doing what I want to do, and I'm not wearing a name tag, and I'm not saying somebody wants fries with that.
Right.
Saying, would you rather try on an 8.5? They come wider, and in the summertime you sort of swell a little. I'm not doing that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's cool, man. You know.
Hey, Bobby.
And the other night I had dinner with a bunch of really, really famous comics, and it was great. And I sat there with all these guys, and I go, you know what? I'm not as famous as them, but I'm sitting with some really cool legends of comedy, and I'm working, so it's cool. And so my advice to young comics is just do it. Just do it. If it doesn't work out, you can always move back to your parents' house, live with your mother, paint your face like the Joker, and get a gun. And that's what losers do, you know? Just go out and have some fun and do stand-up, you know?
Excellent.
Do you ever feel like telling them, just be funnier?
Nick's asking, do you ever feel like telling them to just be funnier?
Yeah, but people say that to me too. You know what? It doesn't matter how funny you are, because, you know, you can't. You know, I did a show the other night and I got a standing ovation. And I was signing DVDs. And people coming up to me go, Bobby, I've seen you like for 30 years. You're the best comic I've ever seen. And then some guy walks up and says, you're the worst comic who's ever lived. So, you know what? It's like, you know.
You still bought your ticket and went to your show.
There's people that hate the Rolling Stones. They'd rather watch New Direction and Beyonce. So they go fuck themselves. You're not going to make everybody happy. You know?
Cheers. Word up, brother.
Cheers.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, no.
Man, that's what makes people fierce and good artists.
And I would have said more, but you know what? You guys never let me get a word in. You really fucked up the whole interview.
Oh, yeah. I was just steamrolling you the whole time here. Yeah.
Max, is Max still there?
Yeah.
All right, Max, I will see you Friday, my brother.
4 p.m. K-O-Z-Z. I can't wait.
All right, well, hey, Bobby, thank you so much for being on the show with us this week. We hope you have a good show. We're going to tell everybody about it all week long, and hopefully I'll get to meet you on Friday myself.
Well, you know what? Now that I did your show, it'll be sold out, so we're done, my brother.
Exactly.
I don't even need to do Max's show, because I know it's
because you got this.
Because of this, but I'm going to do it just because he's my friend, and I can't wait to see him.
Awesome.
Well, thanks again, Bobby. Everybody, don't forget, please check him out at Reno
Bobby!
Tahoe Pioneer, Reno Tahoe Comedy Club at the Pioneer Underground. Mr. Bobby Slade.
Yeah, I'm Wednesday night, I'm up at the Crystal, what is it, the Crystal Bay on the North Shore. I'm doing the show up there.
All right, Wednesday night, check him out up in Tahoe, please.
All right, I'm all over the place. I'll see you guys.
Thank you, buddy. We'll see you later.
All right, back. Bye. I'll see you Friday, back.
Awesome, dude.
And you know what? Bobby gave me some great advice. We used to do the morning show together at KRZQ whenever it went back in the day. Whenever he was coming into town, he'd get there early, and he was just a workhorse. And, you know, my partner and I, we were doing, you know, radio comedy. And now the thing is about radio comedy is about like one or two one-liners, okay? Mm-hmm. Then, boom, you go into commercials, or you go into a song, or you give away, you know, a prize.
Not Bobby.
It's being witty. Right, yeah.
Yeah, now with Bobby, you know, and he coached me. When I was just trying to starting out doing radio comedy, it was like, Max, no, premise, setup, wait for it, punchline. And then he'd go over the joke. Just Seinfeld is the same way. It's all about changing this word out to get it down to levity with brevity. And the guy's a genius.
Yeah.
I mean, he gets fierce.
Yeah, no, I, like I was saying to him, I remember the first time I saw him on a...
Yeah, Mom and Dad were gone.
Yeah, no, his hair was brown. He was, you know, I was 13, 14. He was probably, I don't know, still 86.
Yeah, but great soul.
But he's a workhorse. I mean, I was looking up his IMDb today.
I've heard him on a lot of podcasts. That's why I brought that up. I think I even listened to the Mark Maron podcast with Bobby Slayton.
But I've caught him on like the old Don and Mike, Don Geronimo, and Sack. He's done all those shows.
There was a time when...
Probably Panama. grandma too.
When I was first starting out, I would drive in my El Camino to the top of the mountain just over Donner Pass, and I would sit and I would listen to Don and Mike. and I would learn things. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
I would listen to Dr. Don Rose, the big 610 KFRC. You know, I was just starting out in radio. I had been in bands. My parents were in show business. And I started out just like, you know, with this radio show. And although I thought, you know, golly, you know what? There's not a lot of music people in radio. I can help a lot of bands. But along the way, you know, I helped a lot of people out. I mean, being a part of the community and everything. But
sure.
Thanks for having me down today. You know, I got four brand new songs to share with you.
We're really excited about it. Yeah. Do you want to go to the first one right now?
Yeah. Let's do that.
We've had a great run. Troy Mowat and myself. You know,
Troy Mowat from 7 Seconds.
7 Seconds. Troy and I, you know, I was friends with 7 Seconds back from the beginning.
Like when they were playing out at American Flats with generators.
Yeah, and you know, it's like when I go see the shows, my job is to protect Mom Seconds because she's like about 5'2" and weighs 89 pounds.
Yeah.
And there's flying humans everywhere. And Kevin's like, you guard Mom. You know? But back in the day when they'd be playing shows crazy like that, and I've always had long hair. I'm an L.A. guy, okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a skater, surfer guy, snowboarder guy, but I've always just been me. You know, and I'd show up at their shows, and I'd get beat up because I'd be the long-haired guy, you know.
Right.
Yeah. But I was still – it's cool.
Before
I mean,
long hair was accepted by the punks, and vice versa, punks were accepted by the long hair.
Troy and I started making – because, like, you know, Bobby from 7 Seconds, he did the jazz thing. Steve has done his different metal things. Kevin's done his acoustic thing. But this is the first time that the Troy did something out on – and you know what? Well, we got him in the studio. The guy's like Bonham. I mean, he's so meticulous and so – he's got this thunder and this power. And the band, God, we've been a band now. I was talking to my friend Sam from Authmentis, and they've been a band for 8 years. The Max Volume Band's been around for, okay, do the math, 5 years now.
Nice.
Six years now. A new album's coming, and we're writing lots of great stuff. Johnny, our bass player, has got a couple of cool songs. And this is one. I was talking to my good friend Shane Whitecloud.
Yeah, Shane. He's been a friend of the show.
God, and Shane is one of my best friends in the whole world, and we're brothers, and we've played together so many times. His band, Seasons of Insanity. Gallon of Homemade Wine. One of my favorite songs in the world.
Yeah.
I got it in my car. And, you know, I'll put that sucker on and blast it, and I'll be going down McCarran. But Shane and I have had these. This last year was both really hard. Like when Bobby said, a car accident. Yep. Got in a car accident. Got poisoned. Nearly died. Went to Lynyrd Skynyrd. Got sliced up. Oops. I mean, both my moms have died.
Is that just 2012?
Oh my God!
Or the last few years? Oh, okay.
Well, no, that all happened. The first stuff all happened last in 2012.
Wow!
But my stepmom died last fall. I mean, last it was in July, June. And my mom, she died just 2 years before that. So it's been a tough run. But yeah. Shane and I were talking, and as soon as I got off the phone with Shane, I sat down, got the spiral notebook out, and as fast as I could write words down, they came. And I already had the music, because people say, does it start with the music? Does it start with the words? Well, you never know where it's going to start. Right. But
sometimes one, sometimes the other.
The party starts. It's going to start somewhere. And this one's called I Had a Dream. Or so far, that's what we'll call it for now.
Okay.
Anything, but love got you. evil and people got hard. Fate seemed to turn out a friendly card. Life is a game that we all play, but you gotta show up every day. Pick yourself up when the world throws you down. Pushed and shoved, gotta stand your ground, because nothing's gonna happen for you unless you want it to. That I wanted to be. Once I was in love. Once I felt real trust. And once before the scars, I believed nothing could ever tear me apart. But love got evil and people got hard. Fate seemed to turn out a friendly card. Life is a game that we all play, but you gotta show up every day. Pick yourself up when the world throws you down. Pushed and shoved, gotta stand your ground, because nothing's gonna happen for you unless you want it to. No, nothing's gonna happen for you unless you want it to.
Very nice.
Nice.
Love got evil, people got hard. I like that. That's a good line.
You know,
that's a really good line.
We all start out with so much ambition and so much drive, and we're smart, and we know what we want to do, and we want to drive the ball downfield and put it between the goalposts.
Yeah.
And then life hands you your ass.
Repeatedly.
Yeah, the guy that gets he goes out, he gets a job. He gets some money. He's going to get the girl. He's going to get some Italian smell good. He's going to dress himself really good. He's going to get that car. He gets the car. He gets the job. He's got the smell good. He's getting out boy, and he got some fancy ass rims on the car. He's got another payment, and he got a big fancy ass stereo on the car because he got another payment. He's going out because he's going to meet the girl, and he gets out and he starts drinking. Then he gets pulled over. Then he gets the DUI. Then the car gets parked in the side of McCarran, someone breaks into the car, steals the badass stereo, steals the rims off his car. 3 days he's in jail. He loses his job. He never got the girl.
The car gets repossessed.
You're alone with Italian smell good. You know.
Life will hand, you know, and karma is a wheel. You know, you'll see people that do evil things to other people, and you think something evil about them, saying, "Man, I wish this happened to boy. I hope they get theirs," and then they do get theirs. And you go, ooh, you know, hey.
Take some of that back.
Yeah, you know, because, you know, you just can never really embrace that hate or that evil.
Yeah.
Because, you know what, those people are going to get their asses handed to them.
I was just talking to a friend of mine.
It's a waste of energy anyway.
I was talking to a friend of mine the other day who's going through a rough patch herself right now. And, you know, one of the things
I was telling her.
No, it wasn't Riku. She's going through a great patch right now.
I can't.
That's right. My girl's fabulous. you know, she was like, well, you know, you always seem so optimistic and hunky-dory and everything's going to be great. And, you know, I had to tell her, look, I'm just as scared and afraid of the next day as everybody else. But if I go around life looking for the stuff that's going to drag me down, looking for the grim, looking for all the problems, well, I'm going to find the problems. But if I go around looking for the hope, looking for the solutions, they will present themselves. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. You know, my son had a great book, you know, my son, Johnny. He brings this book. Dad, look at this. It's the 48 Laws of Power. And I started looking through it, and most of it, you know, I've read many great books and taken many great classes, and I consider myself a well-rounded person, and a lot of these things were like textbook me. And then there was other stuff, and one of the laws of power was stay away from the negative people because that dark cloud, it's an infection.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, it is.
And you just got to put out the love, you know, the people that are going to put out the negativity and bring you down, they'll take, you know, it's like you're standing on the edge of the river and somebody's drowning, you throw them a rope, well, they can pull you in.
Right, yeah.
You know, they can pull you under.
Right. But at the same time, you know, like when they are friends of yours and people you want to help and love and support, you know, you got to give them the option. Well, but it is up to them to pull themselves up with
the
rope.
And most people just need someone to listen to. And it's just like the girl, okay? We know about this, about the girl. You get on the phone, she wants to talk.
Or the guy, Rick.
Well,
right, thank you. You're welcome. I need it translated. What is this girl thing?
And you just sit there and you go, uh-huh. 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 No. Then, well, how did you feel? What'd she say? Just listen. Be a good listener.
Right.
You know that, you know, a lot of people don't want to hear you say, well, you know, one time what happened to me. No, they just want to let it. They want to pop that emotional zit.
Because what you might be sharing, oh, the time that happened to me. Well, screw you. They're living it right now.
Yeah,
they need to talk about it.
You just said about, I'm thinking about now, too many people are worried about tomorrow and yesterday. And what about right now?
Right now is all you got to worry about.
The road to now brought you right here. Right here. Breathe that air. Smile at that person. You know, it's like the other night I was out at the club. We had a great show. We played with Frank Hannon of Tesla. And walking through the club at the Knit. And there's the guy who's got the smell good and the collars are popped and the hair spiked. And he's walking around with his phone. He's at the club sending a text message to somebody who's not at the club. And he walks by this smoking hot babe who's there looking for the guy. He's looking for the girl. She's looking for the guy. She's dressed up to the ten. She's been on the phone with all of her friends. Can I buy the borrow the shoes? You know, the Manolo Blancos or whatever. there's some battalion. Can I borrow the belt? Can I get that outfit? I would look so cute and I want to go out, blah, blah, blah. She's on her phone texting. They walked by each other three freaking times.
Their head buried in the phone.
They never met. It was like the Fish Under the Sea dance from Back to the Future. They never met. They never kissed.
Thus changing time for forever.
Right, right. Marty McFly was never born.
Oh, fuck. Biff is going to get his casino. This sucks.
Right, we're living in Biff's world because of you, you miserable fuck.
You dumb fuck.
That's what this one's about, is about the girl, getting the girl. And once you got the girl is your treasure. Now, for our gay friends, whoever you find that you love is your treasure. Life is too short to be alone. Be alone. Be in love with whoever you, because you know it's going to happen. You're going to fall in love. You just got to let yourself do it. Okay, so it's about the girl.
Awesome.
Baby's got a potion, she puts it in a lotion, perpetual commotion, it's love and she can spare. Baby's got a touch to me, it feels so much. It's happiness and such, it's go there if you dare. Stick your sweet kisses and heartthrob wishes. Baby's got a potion, puts it in a lotion. Blue jean squeezes and console freezes. Baby's got a touch to me, it seems so much. It's happiness and such, so go there cause I'm there. Whoa, whoa, gonna make her glow. All I will say, my baby.
touch. To me it seems so much, it's happiness and such. Go there if you dare. Baby's got a notion, the universe an ocean, perpetual commotion, something we can share. Sticky sweet kisses and heartthrob wishes. Baby's got a potion, put it in a lotion. Blue jean squeezes and hot soul freezes. Baby's got a touch to me, it seems so much. It's happiness and such. It's a go there if you dare. Whoa, 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 gonna make a glow. Oh, now we are. Baby's got a notion, the universe an ocean, perpetual commotion, love she can't spare.
Woo! Yeah.
Now with very dynamic max volume.
Well, with a full band, that's going to be a shit kicking.
Yeah, that's a, that's got a little
this
tough
is
sound
to it. All
new
material we're hearing today.
Before we
never
get too
been heard before,
before we get
world.
Too much into it, I do want to take the time to mention the sponsors of this segment
we
of the
have
show.
A sponsor?
We have a sponsor.
All right,
Reno Computer Fix.
Way to start off the
Fix.
Season.
Yeah, Reno Computer Fix at 1170 South Wells Number 7. Please check out Ian and Justin over there. I had this little bricked laptop that's been sitting in my, you know, across, you know, on a couch under laundry for a year and a half. I'd taken it into Best Buy, to the Geek Squad, all these different shops here and there, and they all, oh, well, the motherboard must have melted out. Take it down to Justin and Ian. They had it for 24 hours, called me back, said, yeah, your fan was busted. I got it fixed. You want us to back up the data?
Sweet.
That's it.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, 24 hours. I'll have it back tomorrow.
Yeah.
These guys are great. They do good work for cheap. They'll charge
now,
you for the job.
Guys? Who are these guys?
Reno Computer Fix.
Now, where are they?
1170 South Wells, right next to Dandelion.
He's such
Deli.
A radio pro.
Number which one?
Number 7.
Number 7 by yeah. Dandelion.
Yeah, well, there's a trophy shop in between yeah. them yeah. and Dandelion. Yeah, yeah. it's right
and
there on a
freeway friendly.
Very, very freeway friendly.
You get off on Wells and just keep going.
Exactly. And it's right down there at Vassar and Wells. What? Reno Computer Fix.
Reno Computer Fix. I
Reno
love
computer.
Those guys.
You can find them at www.renocomputerfix.net. If you want the phone number, it's 966-0212.
966-0212.
That's right.
That's
Reno Computer Fix.
0102.
Check out those guys. They're really good friends of the show, and they support us and do great work. They do refurbished computers. They do repair. They do data recovery. What you need. They'll charge you by the job, not by the hour.
I need cool. them really bad, too.
I'm bringing a couple into them, too.
Yeah.
A tower yeah. and an old compact that was Marianne's computer.
So you all out there, they're helping stuff. Us out. Have them help you, because there's some great guys, and they do good work over there. And they support the local arts.
Very
they
cool.
have consignment art from local artists all over their walls, so please check
and
that out,
too. And
they've
given us a lot of, what do you call this, gift certificates
yeah.
over the years for Mary Anarchy. So, yeah.
Yeah, they've been
thanks,
a big
guys.
Supporter of local events
cool
and our fundraisers and stuff, so, yeah.
Well, now, while Nick gets me a different guitar because I'm such a guitar dealer.
Oh, yeah,
and,
yeah. Let me do it.
And Dogwater Dick, I'm unplugging.
For some reason, the fucking DI just stopped working, so.
Oh.
As soon as we started the show, the DI just stopped working, so
don't worry about it.
Did you get any guitar?
Huh? Not off the DI, but I wasn't going to use the DI anyway, typically. I've just got it for backup.
Okay.
So, I love the mic so much more anyway, so I don't care.
Well, it might have been the guitar. Maybe the 9-volt went out, because I didn't see a lot
why
of
would
the,
that would be such a dick move, for the 9-volt to go out, like,
oh, yeah.
right as the show started, because it worked before we hit record.
You could hear the guitar, though, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
oh,
it was
yeah.
coming
no,
through the mic,
the,
fine.
The mic is what I care about. If
yeah.
the mic stopped working, I would have stopped
go.
The show.
And he has.
Right?
That has happened, in fact.
Oh, and now the DI is working. Maybe it was the fucking...
Maybe it was the freaking
bad. So check your 9-volt, bud.
Well, this is a different guitar.
That's
first
what I mean
off,
the other one, boy.
Did we mention that Nowhere Nevada is about to see the light of day?
Oh, my God.
Are
and
we
you
ready?
You are fucking well, so rad.
We're really ready?
Oh.
I think Max is starting to direct the show here, and it's like...
Honestly, Max, we talk about our week that we had, me and Rory and Rick and... And do that, too.
We're here to talk to Max. We're already halfway through the show.
Out,
fuck
but
last
this is
week.
The most unusual
I play the bad guy
right now.
But it is
I'm
so,
K.
We've all,
you
we've
are
all K. seen it.
I have not.
Cool. Oh, you haven't?
I read the script. I have read the entire script.
Rory, who is in it, so, has not.
We're watching it, and as soon
and
as
Max
that voice.
Max hasn't seen the whole thing, but me and Rick have seen the whole thing.
And as soon as you hear that
only
voice.
Only the rough cut, though. It's not what it's going
to
be.
And Max, I have been listening to your voice since I was like 9 years old. And so as soon as that voice comes on, I'm all, oh, fuck, it's Reno. It's Reno, motherfucker. Do you hear that? That's Max fucking volume.
No shit.
Like, no, so it's just immortalized casting. For the rest of the time forever. I'm so excited.
Well, but, brilliant casting.
You know, Nick and I have been hanging out. When I found out the whole backstory behind this and you know, long beyond the promise to Mariette.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It is for reals. I mean, how many people cross the finish line? Not many people do that. You might.
Damn right. We're getting there. We're going to cross
pound,
it.
Pound cake, French fries.
Yeah. they're doing some hand jive there. Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be so awesome.
Yeah, man. No, we're really excited about
now,
the movie.
Felix Polanski line dancing and lip syncing boy band songs.
I am one of his backup dancers.
It's, oh,
God. That was just, stuff. I fell out of my chair. Because we all know what Felix sounds like when he sings.
Yeah, the best part. Later in the movie,
well, no, anyway,
they do a
lip syncing. He's lip syncing to Jeff Dunn,
and so it's
right?
Like, oh, it's Jeff Dunn's voice and Felix singing, and yeah.
And right after that, you hear a Liver Scar song. But
and
hey,
oh, that's right,
don't
it's spill
the beans.
I'm
you
so
what?
Sorry. Okay,
the Sam the Indian Sweat Lodge.
Yes,
that scene.
Yeah,
rules.
Yep.
Okay, but this song.
Give me some Tom Plunkett.
You know how it was like. Remember when you were little, and as you got older, Saturday always has this special.
Ah, oh, Saturday was always
embrace.
The best. Mm-hmm.
Because on Saturday you are your own. You are the manifest of your own destiny.
Damn right.
Saturday has come. I'm gonna hop on my bicycle. I'm gonna go down to the record store. I'm gonna go through the used records.
Saturday Mom and Dad don't want to see me all day. Yeah.
You know, Sunday there might be. God, we might have to wear fancy clothes and go to church. I don't know. There might be something else to do. It's a family day. But Saturday has always been with everybody.
Yeah.
This, you know, man, it's my own day. And this one I just called Saturday Morning. It's a little instrumental. It's going to be one of those tweeners. One of those tweeners that kind of adjoins the next. It's a setup. It's like okay. Bobby told me, premise, setup, punchline. So this is going to be the setup to an announcement. But this is called Saturday Morning. Just something little, you know. It's
just a little road
morning.
Music. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we ran Nick off. I guess he didn't like that one.
Nah, he had to go take care of something. Beating the midgets in the backyard.
Yeah, that's right. Damn.
Yeah,
I forgot
the midgets
about
were
that.
Getting out of line earlier.
So you know what's really cool? Me and Rory were talking about the scene in Reno,
mm-hmm.
And you know we were sitting out front at Jub Jub's talking about. All the talented people here, you know,
sick talent. Whether you're talking music or visual arts or performance
artists.
Well,
years ago, when I played in my first couple bands around town, years ago, there was only so many bands, and there was a very divisive. There was the cover bands, And then there was the original rock bands. And the school of thought was the cover bands get all the money. They do the 3 one-hour sets or the 4 45s. And then the original bands, they get 45 minutes. Now, the cover bands get paid and a guarantee and maybe something from the bar. But the original rock bands, you know.
Fighting for the cover charge.
Yeah, you're going to get the – and your friend's going to come down and pay $5 to come see you and pay to drink. And, you know, it's been a very – but you know what? The things have changed. And I would say that from 5 years ago when I put together the Max Volume Band with the original lineup – and of course, you know, bands go through personnel changes.
You guys had an all-star rock and roll dude, right? On the drums originally?
Oh, yeah. We had Chuck Ruff, bless his soul. God, he was my best friend, and we were friends for 30-some-odd years we played together. He was a guy who taught me so much, and we shared the stage through so many years. And I first met him right after he left Sammy Hagar's band, and but, you know, Widgeon Holland, another good friend of mine who is very talented guitar slinger from Austin, Texas, my songwriting partner. Lenny Sapira, who came in and, God, that Lenny, is there nothing he can't do? John Gaddis, Jesse Gaddis's dad. You know, years ago, Jesse and Johnny were playing with Davey, and their first band was Riot Factor. Then they had... God, they've had the Groove Box, Replica...
That's a rad name.
I have like probably the box set of Davey, Jesse, and Johnny, all the bands that they've been in and all the great things that they've done. And, you know, there was a time when, you know, I'd come home, we were always out of milk, we were always out of food, and you know, and the house was full of boys and their girlfriends, and that was just life at our house. And John and I would be the roadies for Jesse and Johnny and Davey, and they played the Spacement shows with Reno Joe,
right,
and the Dread House and the House on the Hill with Johnny Disaster. And I drove by that house the other day, and it's for rent, and I'm like, oh. But there's a history of Reno, and there's so many venues now for people to play in, so many different – there's stay, you know, there's
– and we didn't always have this many venues.
We have people doing comedy. We have people doing acoustic. We have people doing trance and dubstep. And, and there's just
burlesque.
Like –
burlesque.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Dance. Dancing. Maybe some of this is born of the Burning Man ethic that, you know, be yourself. It's you got to
be
live
a participant.
With. It's you got to live with. You got to make yourself happy.
Yeah.
You know, but
you pack it in, you pack it out.
Yeah. But we have so many great venues now and so many great places to play and so many interesting characters. I mean, you know, there's like my buddy Spike McGuire who does his
Oh, yeah. Spike. He's been on.
He's a crazy character.
He's recording later this week.
Yeah.
Here in the studio.
Yeah.
I can't fucking wait. Spike, I can't wait to see you.
With the Six Mile. With the Six Mile Station, which I got to see at, I got to see them at just over at Chapel a couple weeks ago for the LC After All event.
Damn it, I didn't get to go out on that. I was sick. I wanted to go out and that was, I wanted to start at Swill and go up to Chapel and have a late night out. And you know, it's like I've been writing and just kind of hiding out at home and writing and stuff. And
we can't fault you for that. Like,
well, this is a song, you know, when my stepmom died, you know, it's like my parents got divorced when I was really little. And this happens to everybody. Well, maybe not everybody, but, you know, maybe you listening are going, yeah, it happened to me. Okay, and as a kid, you know, it's an adjustment, you know, because like my mom and dad got divorced, and my dad got remarried, my mom got remarried, you know, there's an adjustment. But I think that stepmothers never, ever get the love, that, you know, the adulation and the cheers for all that they do. And my stepmother was very, very special. My parents were, or, you know, my mom is a very famous record producer and international president of Sweet Adelines, and they used to rent her and my stepdad. They'd rent out the Starlight Bowl in Burbank or Hollywood Bowl or the Glendale Civic Auditorium. They put on full-on Broadway productions of Babes in Toyland, Guys and Dolls, The Music Man. And so we grew up backstage with, you know, all these women fussing over each other in their outfits. And, you know, and they'd all have their pitch pipes, and they'd sing songs about the Suwannee River and how if you let a smile be your umbrella on a rainy, rainy day, you know.
Yeah, all that. All the show tunes.
And, you know, my stepmom was a really special lady. She was very talented, and I lost her. She didn't have to die. It was a heartbreaker. Mm. And I wrote this song for her because stepmoms never get the love that they should. Okay. The world is full of little boys that no one wants to raise, but you stepped in and you made me behave. I hated you and you hated me back, but we learned to fall in love, and that's a fact. A stepmom's job is so hard to do. You need a lot of love and all it won't come true. You taught me manners and you taught me to mind, taught me to behave and always be kind. And when I did something good, the first one I called was you. When I was on TV, the only one I said hi to was you. And now that you're gone, you will always live on in everything I do. But now I just wanna talk to you. Your mommy, my real mom gets mad. When my dad and her fight, it makes me sad. But when I had the measles, it got me through. I guess that's the stuff real mommies do. And when I did something good, the first one I called was you. When I was in trouble, the only one I trusted was you. Gone. You will always live on in everything I do. But now I just wanna talk to you. And I just wanna talk to you. Full of little boys that no one wants to raise, but you stepped in and you made me behave.
Wow, I really, that was awesome. Great. That was really nice. Thank you.
She was my best friend, boy.
There's a lot of lines in that. That was some nice writing.
Yeah. A lot of good words there. Parents when you're a kid. But then you get older and you feel like, damn, I was an asshole.
You know, it's funny that when I was 18, my parents were the stupidest fuckers on the planet. A year later,
they're the smartest people in the world.
A year later, they got really smart.
How did that happen?
You know what the scariest thing ever is? You know, okay, my grandma and grandpa graduated from Hollywood High. Okay. They started working. A call would come out from Paramount or Columbia or Warner Brothers that, you know, hey, we need people on the set. And LA back in the 20s and 30s was still sparse. And they'd go out to the north part of the San Fernando Valley and shoot westerns out of Vasquez Rocks and stuff like that. And of course, then, you know, they paved everything and the asphalt and wire people came in and everybody from all over the fucking earth moved to LA. I mean, I was delivering Pepsi in Hollywood. And one week, it's a family-owned business, has been for 30 years. The next week, somebody from India came and gave him $1 billion to have a business in Hollywood. My friends are impressed now. And people would come in and buy crap up right and left because I live in Hollywood.
Right.
You know, and it was just really, really hard growing up back then. But I'm telling you, my grandparents, they graduated from Hollywood High. They worked on the movie sets. My grandpa got involved with set design and then got into neon and everything. But one day, when I was a kid, we're watching the news. And remember when DeLorean got busted? I don't know. Yeah. I was really young.
Oh, John DeLorean.
John DeLorean. Yeah. Classic story.
In the time travel machine.
Yeah. And he gets busted with, like, I don't know, 19 pounds of cocaine or something like that. Or maybe it was a ton. I don't know. He was a big guy. So my grandpa and I are watching the news, and grandpa looks at me and says, you know, the thing about cocaine is you never know what you're getting. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And then later on I go, Grandpa did cocaine.
The math goes on in your head, yeah.
Lots of things are white and powdery, kids. The Bolivian submarine didn't deliver to Sparks.
Okay? Somebody had to step on that to get it here.
Time travel.
Well, I think it's about time for the quiz.
Can I ask Max one little favor while he has his guitar out?
Okay.
And speaking of Hollywood and the movies, and you're in our movie and you're the villain.
Oh, I was going to do that later.
You're in
our
movie too. Can you play us the Long Road to Nowhere song?
We could, but I'd have to do tuning.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, we don't mind do if that. You tune. Well, is it going
to
take a while?
You know, and I don't have the dobro. I mean, that's a
How
magic
about,
one. I
was we'll telling, do the rest of the show. And then maybe we'll record it at the end of the session and throw it on or something.
You know, I don't have a slide with me, though. I just thought about that.
We should
have. I'm going to have to come back and come back with long. Baby's tweaking again. Out with all of her friends. The girl ain't coming home. Leave a voicemail on her phone. What she said it was. Now completely ain't. And so bro hot dude wants to paint a taint. Wants to paint a taint. She's on that long road to nowhere. Nowhere without you. She's on that long road to nowhere. Nowhere without you. Daddy's little princess got some karma overdue.
The audience.
That was fuck it, A.
Oh, man. Haven't we all been there?
I'm addicted to that song. I've heard it like 100 times. Oh,
God, man. It's a great
song. That was a good moment at Mary Anarchy, too, when you just sat on the edge of the bar and played that. That was fun. Yeah. That was a lot of fun.
You know, and there were some great pictures taken. I got to call the one guy back and get a shot of that. But, you know, that was just fun. We're just sitting there having a good time.
Boulevard Dave, I believe. Boulevard Dave. Cool.
Yeah. Okay, so the
show. All right, quiz. Movie. Can I get some music, please, Rick? Thank you, sir. All right, so as you know, this is a quiz where I ask the contestant a lot of random and somewhat embarrassing questions and score them very subjectively. However, for you, just for you, I have 10 brand new questions.
Yeah!
All right.
Questions,
we have not yet heard before.
I was hoping for Marsha or Jan, because I'm going to go with Jan.
Okay, we'll get that's the rapid fire. That's later on. Oh, yeah, speaking of the rapid fires, here, Nick.
All right.
Here's your rapid fire. Some new rapid fires, too. Not all of them, but some of them.
No peeking.
All right. So, question number one. What's the last lie you told?
The last lie I told?
Last lie you told.
Last lie I told? I'm on my way.
That's a good one. Nick said that to me just today.
I need a ride, yeah. No, man, my phone didn't go off, Rory. I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's all right.
You're a good friend.
Max, what is your guilty pleasure?
Oh, there's too many.
Biggest guilty pleasure?
Chocolate.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, chocolate, yeah.
Chocolate.
Yeah.
Massive sweet tooth.
Have you tried the new sea salt dark chocolate?
Oh man.
They sell it at World Market. Oh my God. Yeah. Chunks of sea salt and chocolate. I didn't think it was good, but it was good.
Yeah, you know, and I like to cook for myself, and I have this one special breakfast but it would take you too long to. It's the Breakfast of the Titans. Okay.
Okay.
It will give you superpowers.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, no. Go. Do you want to elaborate?
What is it?
Yeah, we want to hear.
You
like
food.
You
got to start with steam, and Johnny knows this secret breakfast. Okay, it's the bowl. It's the Bailey bowl. And you steam some vegetables: brown mushrooms, broccoli, red peppers, and zucchini. You slice them all up. You steam them. Okay. Mm. You toast a couple slices of whatever kind of bread that you like. Maybe it's sourdough. Maybe it's Milton's multigrain. Okay, get a couple of pieces of toast. You take the fresh steamed veggies, grate some cheese on it. Might be Colby Jack, might be cheddar. Grate the cheese on it, okay? Then you slice up half an avocado. Then you put it all together. The cheese melts, the avocado's on top of it. Then you take the bacon out that you've been cooking.
Uh-huh.
And you get the good bacon from the butcher shop, not the crap in a sack, okay? Right. You get the stuff, and you look at it, and you say, yeah, I'll take a
pepper
half
bacon?
Pound of that. Yeah.
And you bake it.
And
you don't
you
fry
bake it.
Bake it.
Yeah. In a thank you, Josh. Bake it in a pan, and about 20 minutes at 350, okay?
Yep.
Then you break it up in little pieces and you put it in there. You break up the toast, you put it in there. Then you take the three eggs that you fried sunny side up on low heat so they're nice and tender. You put the three eggs in there. Then you take the La Victoria green, okay? Squirt a bunch of that in there. Then the secret of all life is Tabasco sauce.
Yeah.
You hit that with the Tabasco sauce and you hit it good. And then you stir it all up. And ain't nothing going to stop you after you had that breakfast.
Do chunks of toast? Like you chunk the toast up and put
it
in?
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Rick's making this weekend.
Did you butter the toast?
No.
Oh, my God. That's almost healthy.
We did butter the eggs. Always. Now, remember, folks, margarine is one molecule away from being plastic.
Right.
Yes. Ooh, always go with the real butter.
God made butter. What is the old saying? God made weed, the devil made speed. Is that
God made dirt, so dirt don't hurt.
I can get behind that, though. next question. What's the longest you've gone without taking a bath? Or shower?
Well, camping trips.
Okay.
You know,
fair answer.
Trips. And then other times, you just don't... I would say maybe 2 days, because you worked like an 18-hour day, and then you had to get up and get on it the next day. Or you had a long day... And you woke up and said, I'm going to stay in my pajamas all day. I'm home. I don't have to be anywhere. I ain't showering today. You know?
Yep.
And I can remember one time when I crashed snowboarding and I had surgery on my shoulder. Oh, man. I couldn't shower or bathe or shave for almost like 7 days. You do that. Now, when you're on the road and you're playing in a band, And you look forward to going home with that girl, not because you want to get laid, but because
she's
got a clean bathroom. And she's got a faucet that you don't have to keep pushing down on to keep the warm water going on.
Right.
Yeah. You go on tour and you have like 5 pairs of Levi's, 5 pairs of boxers, 5 pairs. You know, you have your little bag of personal items, you know, and every day it's like, where are we going to eat today? No, we had Del Taco yesterday. No, Wendy's. No, we did that yesterday. You know, and that's it. Where am I going to wash my clothes? What am I going to eat today?
Good answer. That's a fair answer. Trapped on a desert island. You and one other person. Who is it? Switch that one up on y'all.
Well, I'd have to say it's the lady that I've been with for nearly 5 years.
Congratulations.
She's my best friend.
Congratulations.
And she's pretty damn hot.
You found her at the same time as the band.
Yeah, and she likes me, and she knows what I like. So I'm going to go with that.
There you go. When you're trying to impress somebody, say the first time you met her, what personality trait do you try to hide?
Well, you know, the two most sexiest things that men can portray are self-confidence and a sense of humor. So I try to hide the bumbling idiot a little bit,
okay,
you know, and not think about things too much.
Right. The answer is always yes.
Yeah.
All right. What is your best physical feature?
I'm tall and I'm fast.
Okay.
I had a better guess, but move on.
I mean, you know, I still beat everybody at the bottom of the hill snowboarding. I'd write a 163 and a 169, and I still will beat your ass to the bottom of the hill.
Damn right.
I am the Viking.
I'll come from the land of the ice and snow. Man. I ski really fucking fast, too. So.
Oh, no, I'm a snowboarder. Man.
Right, right.
Well, you know, fun. What feature up. physical feature do you look at first in somebody you might be attracted to? Well, what do you like best?
Eyes. I look at someone's eyes because the eyes are the window of the soul.
That's the first thing I look at.
Too few people do the eye contact. And what's the rule, guys? If you make the eye contact with the girl, what is it? You got to say hi.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's your name? And what's a good pickup line? Hi.
Hi.
I'm Glenn.
Right?
Hi. Yeah. Or no, the star power. Hi, I'm Max. Nobody wants to meet Glenn.
Yeah, okay. Eye contact. Everybody wants to know Max. Just
eye contact, yeah.
Or not confident. It's you make the eye contact, look away. Make the eye contact, look away.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just, all right, you're not confident, or you've got something else going on.
Yeah. Or you're loading the spank bank.
You know what? The three things my mama always says is fingernails, teeth, and eyes are the first things that people look at.
Mm. Are you taking notes, Nick?
Yeah.
Well, my fingernails, I'm out because they're horrible.
I was just checking mine out, too.
My fingernails are
eyes
fine.
And what was the other one?
Teeth.
Teeth. Well,
yeah.
My teeth are pretty good,
yeah,
I guess.
I have
braces.
Mm. Yeah.
So they're okay.
I could use some dental work.
Unless you look real close and they're yellow.
Hey, if anybody wants to come
cigarettes.
Be a, any dentist office, want to come out and be a sponsor of our show, I could use some work.
Yeah, no kidding. Huh? Orthodontics.
Assuming everybody's got a price, Max, what's yours?
$500 for three sets.
$500 for three sets.
We will come down, and that's what it is. I mean, here's the thing is that people say, hey, Rory, we got an opening. Can you guys play Saturday night? What's the first two words out of your mouth?
How much? I learned that from you very recently, my friend. Thank you, sir.
You know, oh, God, we'd love to play. Golly. Oh, yeah, we can. We're gonna. Or then there's the people that come and say, hey, we really want to play here. Well, we'll let you play here.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Somebody calls you up and says, hey, we need somebody. Okay, now when we play the net with, like, UFO or Frank Hannon or Y&T, when we played with when we play with Thin Lizzy, you know, who had Mike Ward from Recycled Records,
right?
The best one. It's like people were talking about, well, it's not Thin Lizzy without the dead guy that's been dead for 25 years. Phil Lynott, you know, it's like, well, it's not Thin Lizzy because the guy died. Bands live on, okay?
Yeah.
Anyway, but Mike Ward had the best line. He's like, at least in the Max Volume Band, there's one original member. But, you know, if we want to do a show at the Knit, it's $300, and I want 15 pair of tickets because I would bring all my friends and family and make sure some people do.
Right?
Yeah, now you're Max Volume, I mean, you have that pool. When I play with the Misfits, it's just like, well, thank you for letting us play with the Misfits, you know?
Yeah, well, there's that, too. There's other bands that
come
along.
Because that is what the pay is, a little exposure, a little networking.
Right, and we sold our record and CD and comic book and T-shirts.
If you come along and you go, hey, man, I really want on that show, I'm going to play with you, Shane, I'm doing it gratis.
Right.
If another friend of mine says, hey, I really want to be on that show, well, at this point in town, we've already inked a deal. We're under contract. You want to join the bill, it's gratis.
Right, right.
You know, you're getting exposure. You're playing the freaking Knitting Factory with the best crew and the best stage.
And all of their fans are coming out to see
them. Oh, God, yeah. Great
and
crew.
And you have
God,
connections to KOZZ's airwaves.
Yeah, but that's the main thing. How much?
And you've been doing it for 20, 30 years, whatever.
Yeah.
How long have you been on the air, Max?
31 years this year.
31. Congratulations.
But I've sold 5,000 CDs, and I've had like 4,200 downloads. And it was, you know what I love is when you see your statement, and it says, okay, well, wait a minute. Somebody in Algeria downloaded Baby's Got Ink. Someday I go to California. I see the girl in the bikini bottom with the tramp stamp, and I
find the Max
ink.
Volume.
Don't know what I'm. Yeah, but it's like Romania, South Africa, the Philippines. It's a.
I get a little report on who downloads the podcast every week. It's like somebody in Russia,
isn't
somebody in New Zealand, in Paris. Like, oh, it's fantastic.
I get up every morning and I answer email and I talk to people. In like this one kid I was talking to this morning, he's in Ukraine. And it's nice. Just an amazing world we live in now. Okay, yeah. Next question.
And last question, last new question. Oh, wait, I have two more new questions.
Okay.
What is your favorite TV show that you're most embarrassed by?
What
TV show that do you like but you hate telling people that you like it?
Let's see.
See, they're new. I'm still working out the wording. Right.
Can I play?
Grimm.
Grimm?
Because people are like, isn't it a fairy tale? I love Grimm. Grimm is the best. Dude, you guys, you know what? We went and saw Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunters in 3D. Yeah. Fucking A, man. Best movie
ever. That was
ever.
The number one movie of the week. I couldn't even believe that they made the most money this week.
I haven't even heard about it.
It's Hawkeye from Avengers and that honey from God,
Jeremy
what's her name?
Renner.
Gemma Arterton. It's a great movie.
The commercial makes it look like it's fucking awesome.
Oh, yeah. You got
it.
I
mean,
I love Grimm. Grimm is, you know what? The best show that I love was Chuck. God, I love
Chuck.
Chuck was half man from Uncle and half Get Smart.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had it for a couple of years, and they kept moving it around. It's like they had a great show. God, I love that.
But it was hard to keep track of. Yeah, because like said, it kept
moving
around.
You're all hip and cool, dude. I think he was more talking like for me. 90210, dude. I fucking watched that shit loyally. That's embarrassing.
Saved by the
That's
Bell.
That's embarrassing.
I still will watch it in reruns and on Netflix.
That was back
saved
in
by
the Bell.
Wait, just because we're all
give
sharing
an embarrassing one, man.
Mine is Ancient Aliens.
Oh, bullshit, Rick. Yours
That's
is Golden
embarrassing.
Girls.
Oh, you're
a Golden
Girls.
That's embarrassing.
Okay, listen. As a gay guy, Golden Girls is not embarrassing. It's compulsory.
Well, to the rest of us, it's fucking embarrassing, dude. We watch Golden Girls because you're gay.
Bag it.
That's right. That's right, Rico. You nailed it.
Yeah, you tell Uncle Ricky what for.
Second in the number.
Okay, sorry. And finally, what's your biggest regret?
That's a hard here's the thing.
I know it's question. A hard choice. Yeah.
I think that I was really blessed that I was locked up every night in the 80s in a control room. And thereby, by virtue of that,
by
I had one night a week to go out and trash myself. But, you know, by the time I got off work and went to the party, everybody had done all the nostril sauce. There was one beer left, and there was a roach, okay?
And some desperate girl in the corner.
And it was one with legs. It was one with legs. It wasn't a roach.
Now, I was never a big drinker, although there was times. There was times where I drank, and I drank a lot. But I was never a big drinker. But, you know, I tell you what, you know... You know, I always was like, you know, as a pot smoker, you know, here's the thing. If you walk in, you walk into a room with a bunch of people that just, like, they just picked up a teener and they're snorting crystal meth, you say, hey, everybody, let's jump in the car, let's go downtown, let's fuck shit up. Be like, yeah.
Woo.
You walk into a room full of potheads and you go, hey, man, let's hop in the car, let's go downtown and fuck shit up. And the potheads are going to go... Outside?
No. In a minute. In a minute. Hang on.
I'm going to go on the porch, but I ain't going any farther than that.
Adult Swim is on. I got a pack of smokes, and I got a brand new box of Captain Crunch. I ain't fucking leaving the house.
As soon as I finish this game. Drawing.
But one of my biggest regrets
well, that's
was
a tweaker thing
that
too.
Is a tweaker thing, too.
What are you drawing? I don't know.
I used to smoke pot and listen to Iron Maiden.
I'll know when it's done.
I used to smoke pot and listen to Iron Maiden and Metallica and... And when other friends' careers were going through the roof, I was like smoking pot and listening to Iron Maiden. But you know what? Like Bobby Slayton said, I'm still doing it.
Right.
And you know That's what? Right. Egos come and egos go. And you know what? Volume stays and makes the dough.
Oh, yeah. Listen to that. Listen to that.
That's but I do regret t-shirt. If I'd have left the house once in a while. Not fuck shit up, but yeah.
Sure, all right. Nick, you want to hit him with some rapid fire?
All right, rapid fire. You ready? Here we go.
Here we go.
Beatles or Elvis? Go.
Elvis.
Yeah.
Ooh, unexpected. I thought he would have been a Beatles man.
Yeah, good man.
Star Trek or Star Wars?
Star Trek.
Ooh,
nice.
Okay. So we're going to Elvis.
Rigel 7.
All right, I'm going to save that one for a little later. Coldplay or herpes?
Oh. Or the third one, remember? Or a long ride with Billy Corgan.
Oh, yeah. Good, yeah.
That's okay. Okay, I'm going to go with Coldplay.
Okay. Beat up or arrested?
Nobody ever picks Coldplay.
Beat up.
Throw up or diarrhea?
Well, you have to master the art of throwing up. You have to tilt your head just right so it doesn't come through your nose and you get that,
that's the
that
key.
Big hunk of meat stuck in your head. Or that garbanzo bean that's not digested. Kids,
and that
learn,
comes out the next day. And you just thought,
kids,
by the way.
Kids, learn to vomit. Learn to tilt your head back.
And chew properly.
Embrace vomiting, kids. Meth or Mountain Dew? This is one of your questions.
Yeah, right back at you.
Right back at you, brother.
Dude, everybody I know that has drank Mountain Dew goes bald, man. But I'll take the I'll do the Dew.
I'd say gross. I'll do the meth.
You know, stopping to think about all the computer nerds and video game guys I know that drink Mountain Dew. You are correct, sir. They do go bald.
Stuff is liquid crack, man.
Yeah,
it's better than.
I mean, hey, cocaine. You might or not cocaine. Coca-Cola. You might be able to clean the connectors on your battery or clean up a dirty penny, but yeah, Mountain Dew.
Well, there's programs to get you off meth.
There ain't no program to get you off
Mountain Dew, no.
And
no.
Tom Gordon is a motherfucking addict, dude. He can tell you how tough that shit is.
But he still has his hair.
High fructose corn syrup.
He's amazing.
Well, but see, you know, when I worked for Pepsi.
Oh, I had good news about that. We'll talk about that at the end of the show.
When I worked for the soda companies, they had real sugar. Now, all of a sudden, the FDA a couple years ago says, oh, you know, high fructose corn syrup is sugar, and it's okay to put it in everything. Don't do it, kids. High fructose corn syrup. You know what?
You want good Coca-Colas? Go to all those mama pop shops along Wells, because they've got all the Mexican Cokes with the real sugar in it.
Yeah. Plain sugar.
I stopped sodas.
Good
I
for
lost
you.
Two
good
belt
idea.
Notches, man. I lost 10 pounds in two
Yeah,
belt
soda
notches.
Is kind
I
of the
I did that a couple years ago.
For sure, man.
I'm back on the soda again, but I lost about 15, 20 pounds just cutting soda out of my diet a few years ago.
And Mountain Dew, you can slam that stuff.
Fucking A, dude.
You can slam it.
It's alien drink. Yeah. Speaking of nowhere. Anyway, let's get back to the rapid fire.
I'll shut up my mug if you fill up my jug with some good old Mountain Dew.
Okay. Showing your age, sir. All right. I've never heard of that one. Bowie or Mercury?
David Bowie. Favorite album? Hunky Dory. David Bowie, dude.
Nice
follow-up. I love Freddie Mercury. I love Queen. And Queen is just such an amazing story. And God, them in the studio. Me and Steve Vai talked about him on the air one time. But you know, David Bowie, amazing. Dropping. I've got everything he's ever done.
Yeah.
Everything.
Bowie. Clash or Sex Pistols?
Clash. Dude, great story really quick. Okay. One of my best friends was Joe Strummer's manager. He was also the manager of The Fix. And you know, great stories about Cy Kerning ordering a convertible Range Rover at like $90,000 back in the day and you know, wasting all of his money. But
doesn't he make hats now or something? Anyway.
I saw The Fix play at the Nugget. Ooh.
Not so good.
Kind of more subtle and sedate these days. Makes little birdies with his hands. And it was weird. It was odd. So Joe Strummer, after my friend Luke O'Reilly was the manager of The Fix, he started managing Joe Strummer in the ashes of the Clash and everything. And I went up to the lake. Luke actually lived up at the lake for many years. He was a friend of mine. He says, "Your hero's up here. Come on up and meet Joe."
Holy shit.
So I come on up
you
there.
Met Joe Strummer?
Yeah, hung out with him, and I'm sitting there in his house, and I'm asking him all these questions, telling me about
Dude,
the
Max
Clash.
Dude, Max wins the quiz for that.
Yeah, I think you can just wrap up the rest of that.
You just won the quiz. So
I'm sitting there, and I'm like, tell me another story, Uncle Joe. And then Uncle Joe, what happened then? And blah, 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 blah. And you know, and I'm just asking him all these huge questions because I'm such a fan, right? And then Luke, his manager, looks at me and says, "Listen, you know, I think you're all excited to meet your hero and everything, but let me tell you a little story about the time that Joe disappeared, wandered off from Leicester Square into Hyde Park in the middle of the night looking for a fucking cigarette machine. It took us, we barely found him before showtime.
Cigarettes are devils, brother.
And where the hell are you going? And I've been to Hyde Park. Where are you going to find a cigarette machine in a goddamn park?
Leicester Square, right in a Hyde Park. They found him under a bush sleeping the next day.
Rock and roll, baby.
And then he was like full of them. Let me tell you about your hero. Let me tell you about the time. Yeah. But man, yeah, the Clash.
Clash, for sure.
Excellent.
Well, let's get back. I want to do some
Spanish
more of these rapid
bombs,
fire. All right, this is a nice new one. Godzilla or King Kong?
Oh, King Kong.
King Kong all the way. Gay or ginger? Gay or ginger?
Pick one.
Ginger as in the root, ginger as in Gilligan's Island?
Yes. Whatever.
Shinju, Gilligan's Island.
Nice. Okay, blind or deaf?
No, blind.
AIDS or cancer?
Ooh. Oh boy, both of them are really hard ones.
They also taste like pineapple.
Let's see. I'm going to go with cancer.
All right. And here's a special one for Max Bayon. Jan or Marsha?
Jan.
All right.
Oh, I got a Marsha story, though.
Oh, the shit.
Have you met Marsha?
The Marsha story.
The Marsha story. Okay, get this. Now,
Marie
one time,
McCormick.
I go down to hang out with my
you
friends.
You go down
in LA.
To Marsha. What happened? There's a crispy piece
it
of bacon
better.
Down there.
It gets better. Now, I go down to LA, hang out with my friends, and I guess I was like 22, 23. And I had just moved up here, but I came down and I just started as an intern at KOZZ, and I go down to see my friends in LA. They say, well, let's go on down because I forget. We went and saw somebody at the Roxy. It's a little 600 seat ride on the Sunset Strip. Afterwards, we go upstairs at the Rainbow Room where you can find Lemmy anytime that he's not on tour. Lemmy's upstairs at the Rainbow Room. Anyway, so we go upstairs in the VIP area, and there's a bunch of...
I'm
going
to go to L.A. and do that. Just
to see
that.
Lemmy.
Just to do that.
There's a bunch of, like, label people that are all sitting around, and there's some other people. It was the VIP, and my friends got me in there because they're label geeks, and they were, you know, in the biz. So I'm sitting there. Marsha Brady, Marie McCormick, is drunk off her fucking ass. She is playing on the jukebox Hot Stuff by The Stones over and over and over, and she's dancing around with this little mini skirt, and I'm sitting there going, wow, it's Marsha.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting there minding my own business. She spins around, lands in my lap, puts her arms around me. She goes, you're cute. And I'm like looking at my friends like, I have Marsha Brady on my lap. And my friend's like, just act famous. And she's kissing on me, right? And then she leans over and pukes.
Oh! You just gave her a Clorox and be like, hop back on, baby.
And that's the end of the story.
Did it like splatter on you? Or
no,
did you
no,
get Marsha puke
I
on
turned
you?
Her head and I held her hair. And she.
Hey, good man.
So
good man.
Awesome.
Over there.
That was right awesome. You picked Jan. Is that because of your Marsha story?
I was like Jan.
Okay.
And Jim
Peter
Jim.
Or Greg?
Peter, he was more trustworthy.
Okay. And that he had the hot fucking chick, Adrian.
Adrian from America's Next Top Model season one. Or no.
Bonka bonka.
Not, yeah. And TM
She's
season
hot,
one.
Dude.
Yeah.
Hot balls.
All right, oh, yeah. There's my secret guilty TV show. I've watched like the first 17 seasons of American Next Top Model. There you go.
Or I Married a Brady or the one even before that. That whatever. Okay. All right. My last two questions. Bacon or chocolate?
Chocolate.
Ooh. Yeah. Star Wars or Beatles?
Beatles.
All right. Okay. Well, there
all
you
right.
go. That's the rapid fire for this week.
Well, he dissed Star Wars
Mr.
twice.
Max
right. All right. Well, let's switch it up. Star Trek or Elvis? You're in a universe with only one of them. Star Trek
Ooh.
Or Elvis?
Elvis.
Okay.
Elvis.
Okay.
He's a music guy.
Well, with a nice giant score of 2,173 points, Mr. Max Bayon, that's one of the highest
all
scores
right.
we've ever had.
Good job, Max.
Well, it's just all the awesome people you've met, you just kind of won by default.
I got to write a book. I have to write a book. I started writing a book, and I just started writing stories. You know,
hey, if you need
you
a
feel lucid,
if you need a local ghostwriter or co-writer, you should talk to me.
When you feel lucid, write.
We'll
you
make
know,
a movie
like,
about it.
You know, if something comes to you, you wake up
I'm
in the
right.
middle of the night,
the
write
Max
that down.
Movie right
yeah,
now.
I do that all the time.
If you whatever you can grab it, you know, on a 12-pack, on a napkin, write that thought down, write that idea down, because you're not going to remember it.
I have written ideas down with my ex-wife's lipstick on the back of, like, receipts. You yeah, know,
absolutely.
Just whatever's laying around handy.
Whatever
just
you can like, find.
Because there have been
down.
Those other times where you're laying in bed thinking, oh, this is such a
notes.
Good idea. I won't forget
no,
this.
You won't.
After
you.
6 hours of sleep, the chemicals wash it away from the top
yeah.
of your brain, and it's gone forever.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah. Always, always, always write that down the minute you think of
always
it.
Always record. Always record.
And kids, get yourself a spiral notebook and keep it handy so you're not writing on 12-packs.
The back to cigarette packs.
Cigarette
yeah.
packs.
That's like Kurt Cobain.
Like that.
He had always had the spiral notebooks just stacked up full of song lyrics, ideas,
oh, I have
pictures.
I have a stack
yeah,
of.
Now he's dead.
I have a stack
know,
of notebooks
look what
and
he
journals that is almost as tall
journals,
as me.
Dude.
And yeah. that's only since about 91.
Yeah.
You know,
I got
so.
Him too.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I started writing short stories of like people, stories that are, people always ask me. So I started writing them down. And I'm going to do like Seinfeld or Jon Stewart, just write a book of short stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Story about Jimmy Page, you know?
Right, right.
Max, see the blonde over there with the big tits? She's the one that wants to meet Jimmy Page. Now go fetch her. You know, it's like jamming with Jimmy Page. It's like, how many humans have done that? But after about 90 minutes of the same three chords where he wails on guitar, you're like, getting kind of bored. Oh, but I'm playing with Jimmy Page. You know?
Fuck you, dude. Dude, I'd hang out with Jimmy Page for 8 hours playing one chord. And I would just fucking love it.
And what,
y'all, would you like a back rub too?
And what's your job at the radio station?
Right, that's what I'm
saying. He's a live on-site event producer.
Ooh, that sounds right. Fancy.
Dude, yeah, I work for Max Volume. I'm like his fucking producer and
his
shit.
His boy?
Dude. When we're on the road and we're doing shit from Bill Pierce Motors or something.
Wherever we're going to be. Wherever we go.
Or up very the lake nice. At the fucking Huey Lewis show. Whatever it is, we'll, yeah. You know. I'm important.
Yes, you are. Well, hey, with any luck, I'm going to be doing some live remotes for Lawler Event Center coming up here this spring.
Hey, I do like a motorboat. Have some after notes, speaking of how important I am. Well, shit.
I was going to say, do we want to go one more song and then get to your notes of what we're doing next week? Or do you want to do your notes now and then the song? It's up to you. You can drive.
It's up to
I'll let you drive.
I'm going to let Max decide because he's our guest and he's a superstar.
No, don't let him decide. He's a guest. He doesn't get to say.
Well. No, I've played. I don't want to play something old. I came here to play four brand new songs. So we
let's
that.
Do some more beatboxing. Ready?
No. It's time with it's Uncle Nick time.
All right. Well, these
kids
are,
gather around.
Nick's
it's
journal
Uncle Nick.
Time, and Rick will insert some really lovely music right here for him.
Oh, is this journal? Hi, journal.
Yeah, I'm going to do a journal reading this week. All right, dear journal. I want to say how happy I am that my wife Maya's hip pain is gone and she can walk around like a normal human being and not feel pain.
Sweet.
Be happy.
We
and
love
she's
you.
She's a wonderful intern on her show, by the way, Journal. Also, I want to just say, man, I'm stoked. My son Quentin has actually started playing guitar. He
really?
Has signed up for lessons in high school, so he has to play every day for class. And really starting to connect with each other musically, which is like out of the blue.
Yeah.
Because I never cool. thought he even gave a fuck about it because I've always had it around the whole time you've been growing up, you know. And he's like, you know what, Dad? I really kind of like it. And I'm like, well, good.
Fuck yeah.
Good. Can if you I, need help, let me
can
help
I just
you, man.
Go ahead and interject. Really
what's up? Now, Journal, this is Max
my son,
Volume.
My son, Johnny.
Yes, Johnny Bailey from Midorians and Rigorous Proof.
And yes.
And many other bands.
When he was little and first started playing, I'd say, okay, you download the tabs, learn these songs. I got to go to work. When I come home, you teach me how to play them.
Nice. That's slick.
I mean, I taught him how to tune it. I taught him how to string it. I taught him how to play some chords. I taught him a few things. He did everything else himself. My son actually teaches me how to play guitar.
He tears it up.
Johnny's fucking amazing.
He is.
He's a
fucking
I would say, okay, figure Jedi. Out. You're going to have to download all the tabs for Everlong. Let's play the right version of the right song. It's going to take us five different ones to get all the thing right. And I come home and he say, okay, Dad, now watch this. We're going to do, you know. My yeah. son, damn. I would tell him, download those songs and then teach me when I get home. We got to play those songs this weekend.
He's like, here's Frank Zappa's fucking Shake Your Booty album, the whole thing.
Go.
Yeah, that's fucking awesome. Kids are great. Music's great.
Quick question
it's
on
great
that.
To
okay.
share.
When did you start? When did Johnny get into music? When did you start teaching him how to string and tune and
well,
all that?
Well, we did a little bit of Pop Warner. We did a little bit of soccer. And then around seventh grade, okay. all of a sudden, the guitar was important. And we went through a time when we were really poor. And, you know, the rise and fall of the Max Volume Empire, you know, and he learned that, you know, you pick yourself up and keep going. But we had one guitar. It was a BC Rich. I still have it. The Gene Simmons gave me. It's a Paul Stanley guitar. And we had one acoustic.
Always the little tags on Max Volume stories.
Well, we had those
even
two
our
guitars.
Shitty guitar is famous.
Your shitty guitar is more famous than you. Yeah.
One little amp and you know, and Johnny and I would sit around, I'd play the acoustic and he'd play the electric and that was, you know, all we had, but we did the best we had.
Very cool.
That's fucking
very
awesome.
Very cool.
Man.
All right.
Seventh grade.
It shows, okay, dude.
Thank you. Yeah.
I don't want to be your boyfriend.
Ugh.
I just want to be your man.
Man.
I got to cover that song.
Dude. That's hella good.
I got to cover that song.
That's a good song.
Want to be your boyfriend.
All right, all right.
Well, and the sound that they got at, what was that place? Dogwater Studios?
Oh, right.
Yeah, where is that?
Dude, never it sounded heard of like it. It was recorded never in some faggot's bedroom. But whatever.
Hey, we had Bobby Slayton on our show. We're fucking big time now.
Yeah. Season three, baby.
That's all new on the show. Website.
So, Journal, I just want to wrap this up with
Journal. Right.
This Saturday when I played with Hell Acapella, that got reunited because Rodney's back in the group.
Oh, really? Ooh. A year and a half later?
Yes, yes. After all that craziness and drama,
well,
Rodney
you,
is
Rodney.
Back and a nice force to be. And he's a wonderful man. He's really humbled quite a bit and really like ready to just show up once a week to practice like the rest of us and show up at the shows and not have an ego. And he's also like, also, you know, court ordered sobriety. So he's doing that whole thing. Maybe you can help him out, Rick.
Good luck with that, Rod.
Anyway, Journal, I don't want to share too much about that. That was super awesome. And we played for Tanya's birthday, who used to play with us, you know, when we were first starting out with Boy George W., which turned into Hella Acapella. It was her birthday. She came up on stage, sang Banana Love with us. It was awesome, Journal. You should have been there. And then, like Bobby was saying, he's hanging out with Mike Love. Remember Mike Love from the Beach Boys and shit? Well, good friend of Mike Love, Tom Gordon.
Yes.
Good friend of us who's doing the Nowhere Nevada soundtrack and has been on the show a bunch of times. And so just all around great dude. He's having these recording classes. And yours truly got a seat.
Hey!
Taking a 16-week recording course with Tom Gordon.
Fucking rad.
Every Tuesday.
Maybe we'll shove you into Rick's bedroom one of these days.
Well, I'll probably be coming over here just like snooping on Rick's shit.
I need to tell everybody about a great entertainment value. It's a comic book. It's a CD. It's the Liver Scars.
Yeah.
It's at Recycled Records.
Go get it now.
And it's big and loud.
It's fucking rad.
Do they have it at Discology too,
poppy,
or just Recycled?
It's rocking.
Do they have any over at Discology?
Drink and fuck.
I don't know, but Nick? I heard they have
I'll bring some over there to them. I'll tell Felix, just like throw five of them over there, but they're Recycled right now.
Okay, okay, cool. So.
Well, David's cool. We got to love David.
Yeah,
so.
Love Discology.
You notice the sticker, the David sticker on that notebook?
Oh,
There's the Discology. Yeah. He's like the Egyptian man.
Everybody check out Discology and Recycled Records.
Yeah.
And
you guys support your local music stores.
Right. And your local music store should actually have a commercial with us, so they should be... support us,
guys.
But anyway, and then Journal, I just want to tell you about
the sales staff on that right away.
Journal, I want to tell you about some things coming up. This Saturday, I'm playing with Candy Shop at the Alley.
They're good.
It's a benefit. February 2nd, a benefit for the Battleborn Derby Demons. Never mind that your ex-wife is our lead singer. It's a day to derby event, so you could go on girls in front of your ex-wife. And
I'm going to bring my daughter. Kidding me?
Yeah. Sure. Well, I don't know if it's all ages or
no,
not.
No, it's not. I already looked at that. It's not.
Yeah, yeah. And there's hot girls, there's big girls, there's big girls, there's small girls, there's fat girls, there's any kind of girl. I love them all, though. They're fucking derby girls.
BB double D.
So go fucking bid on that Saturday night at the Alley. And we're going to probably be playing a couple new songs, too. And
Ooh,
Journal,
nice.
That is all I have to report. And I just want to tell you, P.S., I love you.
Well done, Nikki. Well done. We only interrupted you like seven times that
time. Oh,
that's
okay. I got through it. With max volume sitting on me with all the added pressure, I'm like, hey, maybe someday I can be on the radio at KOZZ. So we'll see. How you fucking do it? Your podcast.
Well, I think we're gonna go out with a song from Max here. But before we do, Max, I want to thank you for being in the studio this week.
Oh no, that's it. That's all the Jimmy Page you get right there.
What are you gonna play?
Rick, what are you?
Are
doing
you gonna
this
play
weekend?
One more song?
No.
He said no already.
Damn it. Rick, are you doing something?
Trying to trick
weekend?
Him.
I think I'm recording Naked for Safety, and I got Spikes Band coming in like just before that, so I got a buttload of recording going on.
Excellent.
It's gonna be awesome.
Well, I want to thank everybody for being here and joining us for this first episode of our third season.
Word up. Thanks for listening,
Please
everybody.
Please check us out on the internet at worstlittlepodcast.com, on iTunes, on Blueberry, on Stitcher, and more podcasting networks to come in the new year. We're just so happy to be here. Thanks again to Reno Computer Fix for being one of our sponsors. And go patronize people we know. Patronize Jubb.
Go Cap. Go
Cap. Yeah. Yeah, Super Bowl in 49ers. Like 4 days. Go Cap.
Niners!
This is the 1 year I will Kaepernick. Root for the 49ers.
Kaepernick. Kaepernick.
Old school, home school, yo.
All right.
For Nick Ramirez, Dogwater Dick, and Chewbacca, I am the Reverend Rory Dowd saying good night, ladies.
On the worst little podcast, we're talking out of our ass.
Lovely bit of string.
Bubble and squeak.
Dogwater Studios.
Bet that's not worth much.